Well, fries, no slaw. It is Sunday, January 18th. Richie, I don't even know if it's been coordinated or not, but we've kind of are in this every other week flow right now in the off season, which just kind of is what it is. Enjoy the times you do get to see us. But I do feel like it's like forever from the time I see you till the next time I see you. So how have you been, man? How's your weekend?
Good. It's been nice. I'm loving this cold weather. You know, you hear a lot of people complaining, and I promise you they will not be complaining come March when it's 88 degrees outside. So enjoy this while we have it, guys. This is beautiful weather right now.
I walked into church this morning and it was like 60 degrees, and I kind of was wondering why I even put this jacket on. And then I walked out of church and it was like below 50. And I was like, how in the world? I guess it rained while I was inside, but I was just like, yeah, that dropped out of absolute nowhere. So it is what it is. I'm feel very comfortable right now, but it is, I don't mind the cold.
I don't want it to be.
Did I go for a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But anyway, all that said, I don't mind the cold, but
yeah.
All right. We've got a lot to talk about today. Took a week off. And, you know, we've done that a couple of times. I want to talk about that a little bit later in the show, too, as we go. Hey, Richie, look, I don't know if you can't see what this says on here, but check this out. This is going to, I don't know if this is going to work or not. But, like, can you see behind me? Can you see that?
The little
signs?
I can't see the sign. It's the banner for Guthrie's and Tallahassee Ford. It's kind of blocking it.
Okay. That one is the Jameis quote. Here, look, I'll even zoom in a little bit more.
Oh, okay.
Actually, see if you can see it. Going the wrong way. This is great. But it's the Jameis quote. I said, are you strong,
Ben? Strong, Ben. Yeah.
And let's go the other way. Get my head out of the way. And then this one is just, if we're going to do it, then do it big then. So somebody sent me that or gave me that. Now let me get this. I am so zoomed in that that's a great angle. But anyway, shout out to the people that send things in. But actually that might be a little bit better ratio there. Maybe I'll keep it like this. I had to do some decorating in here. So shout out to, I don't want to name people on here just cause they might not want the, attention, but anyway, let's give Guthrie some love and then we'll get on with the show, talk a little portal, try and take some comments, some questions, do some blind rankings, and then we'll go there. Actually, before I even get to Guthrie's, did you see Jameis at FSU yesterday?
I did.
Because Jonah was getting, I'm sure, moved in is what they were doing there. Did you see the meme that was like, I left this place spotless. You guys have turned it into a mess. I know that we've been pretty negative over the last few months, but I did think that was funny.
I didn't see that one, but I would love to give credit to who I saw, but I was scrolling Twitter earlier, or X, and I saw a really cool side-by-side photo of Jameis right after they won the Natty in 2013 on the Rose Bowl field holding Jonah. And then the picture of him and Jonah in the like the trophy room from his visit yesterday or from moving in. So it's pretty cool. I'm like, dang, that was 13 years ago. And here he is now. So just a cool first full circle moment.
12 years. Jameis. 12 years.
Well, 12, yeah. Technically 12, yeah.
Yeah, 12 years. Don't make it even further. Although I'm sure we'll get to this point next year and you'll be able to say 13 years. So Double Fries, No Slaw, brought to you by Guthrie's. We appreciate them for all of their support and want to make sure that if you are in the Tallahassee area, you are checking out those locations at 1818 West Tennessee, 2550 North Monroe, 2870 Appalachian Parkway. I don't think there's a dine in there. I think that's just to go or catering or carry out, but go check out Guthrie's if you're really anywhere near. They're building one kind of close to me. I know there's one down in Tampa. There's one, I mean, they're all over Alabama and Georgia and just kind of all over. But make sure that you are showing some love to our friends over at Guthrie's. Richie, let's start with this. Florida State gets three key pieces back on the defensive line. Between Kevin Wynn, a true freshman that was the highest ranked recruit in their signing class last year, and then the Desir twins as well. That was a saga in and of itself that lasted 10 or 11 days. Wynn pulls his name out of the portal. It got kind of dire there for a moment, and it really seemed like, boy, if all three of these guys go, which obviously the twins are pretty much a package deal, if all three of these guys go, I don't know what the heck we're going to do on the defensive line. And even with how good the Desir twins were for you last year and how much you think Wynn has potential to be really good, I mean, it wasn't a very good defensive line last year anyway. So to lose three of your more promising pieces would be pretty tough, but Florida State was able to get it done. And as much as you may hate the current landscape of college football where guys can go to the portal or negotiate or hold the program hot, whatever light you want to look at that in, it is an objectively good thing for Florida State and their potential this year to get those three guys back. I think they'll be three of the better pieces on your entire defense. I'm still pretty high on Rawls and Barker and other guys that are there too. But I think it all kind of starts up front. And so no matter what you think about the landscape or the fact it happened or the guys continue to go to the portal and get more money out of Norvell and the staff, it was a good thing to retain them. Because if not, boy, I don't even know what you do on the defensive front. Because we'll talk about guys they've added in the portal. They certainly have not impressed from that standpoint. So the Noles get back the Desir Twins and Kevin Wynn.
Yeah, before all this happened, I was kind of thinking about that, you know, that Rubio meme that everyone's been blowing up, like throwing a defensive lineman jersey on him, being like, your next job, you're going to Tallahassee to start on Florida State's defensive line. But I think getting the Twins back is huge. They combined for 53 tackles, 8 sacks last year, both as true freshmen. And that's hard to do in the trenches. It's really easy to contribute early on as a running back, as a, you know, as a skill player. I'll just put it that way. But in the trenches, as a true freshman, it is very difficult to get in there and immediately make an impact. And they both did. And I think, you know, we have been probably more harsh on Coach Norvell than most FSU outlets have been this offseason. And I think it's been warranted. But I think we also need to give him praise for making this happen. Did we overpay for him? I don't care. Miami clearly overpaid for their roster this year, and they're playing for a national title tomorrow. So sometimes you do have to overpay, and retention is one of the key parts of college football nowadays. It sucks that this is what it's come to, but that's where we are. That's what it is. And I think you definitely can take a big sigh of relief. Now, am I saying Florida State is going to have a dominant defensive line next year because of these three players coming back? No, but it gives them a fighting chance. And that in the ACC, that's all you really need.
Yeah, I don't think, and we'll talk kind of outlook here in a minute. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a dominating defensive line, but it shouldn't be atrocious. Like there should at least be a floor. Yeah. Right. And that, I mean, with what we've seen the last couple of years, yeah, it's not been good. You need to at least have some kind of a floor, some kind of a, hey, we can grow from here. And there are certainly other question marks. I don't love that. And maybe this is just nitpicking too much considering our situation. So I don't know. Maybe if you want to talk me off the ledge or if you want to agree with me here, I'm open to kind of your thoughts. I don't love how the consistent theme at Florida State for the last 3 years, at least, I don't really think it happened after that 23 season. No, it did happen. I don't think it happened after the 22 season. Let me back up one. I get all the years mixed up. But the consistent theme at Florida State after 2024, after 2023, after 24, and after 25 is that you can go in the portal and you can threaten that, and you can go entertain offers from other places, and we will pay you more to not do that, to not leave, right? Because we'll get desperate. And that happened with Peyton, that, you know, there were rumors of like Farmer and Jackson there. It has happened yearly. And I think it's perception, because I will tell this, like to be very fair with Florida State, this is happening everywhere. Like Jaden Baugh, who maybe is still running from that game that we played at Florida in the end of November, he never entered the portal, but he did entertain offers from other programs. Like Texas was offering him a lot of money. He had a good enough relationship with a brand new staff to where he didn't put his name in the portal and then had to withdraw it. He never said, like Hayes Fawcett never made him a graphic. He never said he was going to the portal. They were able to negotiate that internally. He was entertaining offers from other places, which I know, oh, tampering this, that, tampering's fake. Like everyone's tampering, shut up. And never went in the portal to use that as like desperation type leverage to where Florida then would have to overpay by even more. Now, Florida, I'll say this, raised their offer and gave him more money. But it's just this idea of it feels different at Florida State. And maybe I'm just so jaded. Maybe I'm just so miserable or upset about everything that's going on at FSU that it feels different. And it feels like we get leveraged with the portal far too often. Not only did it happen with these three defensive linemen we're talking about, it happened with Rawls, it happened with Barker. It continuously happens with this program. And I just wonder, why are we not, now I know the GM wasn't in place for some of these guys, but why are we not proactive in understanding like, hey, here's what negotiations need to happen and let's get them taken care of before we enter into this almost 2 week portal saga with the Desir twins or before Jabril Rawls puts his name in the portal and maybe goes somewhere else. Again, I think this negotiation leverage thing is happening everywhere. So I don't want to say that Florida State is unique in that way. I just don't understand why it's continuously a thing. Like Dallas Wilson, a five-star wide receiver, Vernell Brown, there were a lot at Florida specifically, and they're just our closest geographical rival for sure. So they're kind of like top of mind. Why are other programs able to negotiate this stuff out before it becomes, oh yeah, 30 FSU players just jumped in the portal, and that's when we start to maybe go into desperation mode? I just don't love the optics of that. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe I'm making too big of a deal of it. At the end of the day, they're on the roster right now. They're going to play next season. The portal's closed now, so thank God they're locked down for another year, and we'll probably do it all again next January. But I just don't love the way that looks. Maybe I'm just being a curmudgeon, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I think there's just so many intricacies to this whole portal situation, especially the way it is with the NIL now. To your point, there's no such thing as tampering. You know, if I'm a head coach, I'm telling somebody, hey, I really like that defensive tackle, you know, down at FAU. Make contact with him. Let's have some backdoor conversations and see what it would take to get him. And I just think it's just so difficult because you're not just dealing with the players, right? You're dealing with the family members. Maybe it's an uncle who hasn't even been in the picture for 5 years, but all of a sudden that he wants to be your agent. Or a lot of these players have actual agencies. So you're dealing with so many different people. It's so frustrating when there's a coaching opening in the Southeast and everyone's like, oh, please don't be a Jimmy Sexton candidate, right? And I feel like that's what these players feel like they're kind of at right now, where they can get away with it. You know, I said on here maybe a couple months ago that I don't think if you're a head coach, you should not allow a player to hit the portal and then come back. You know, once you're out, you're out. We're looking for your replacement. I'm kind of going to back that off a little bit and say, you know what? That's just the reality of college football. We probably see it more and notice it more at Florida State because we're Florida State fans and we see everything that happens. To your point, it does happen everywhere, but it is kind of defeating when 18-year-olds or 19-year-olds can literally just sign a piece of paper or hit submit on a keyboard and all of a sudden they're shaking you down for some extra money that could be used elsewhere to help make the entire team better. But you're so desperate, especially this year at defensive line. Like you said, it was a dire situation. They had no choice but to bring these guys back.
I do want to also give a little bit of love to the Battle's End. I got an update from them this week, just via email. And I know a lot of people, nobody wants to give money to the program right now. I understand that. They were pretty crucial and monumental in bringing the Desir twins back, and got an update from them via email this week that, you know, they would understand if their current membership was like at zero after 7 wins in 2 years. They've certainly lost members, but still well over 3,000 people still contribute on a monthly basis. It's not a ton of money. I don't want you guys to think that I'm bankrolling the NIL efforts of FSU, but mine still goes through every month. I still want Florida State to be good. And so there's been a lot of talk about NIL and the rev share and the cap and, you know, different people's perspective of that at FSU. And we've certainly whined and complained about that too, but without them, I don't know that this gets done. So shout out to Ingram and the team over there at the Battle's End for being a very vital part of this thing getting done. And again, ultimately a good thing for Florida State to get the Desir twins back and Kevin Wayne back, because my gosh, I don't even know what that defensive line would look like if not for it. Let me give Tallahassee Ford some love just really quickly. we talk about them quite often. And listen, this will be a little bit different, but they are a huge partner and sponsor for the Night to Shine event in Tallahassee. If you're not familiar with that, it is a unforgettable prom night experience centered on God's love for people with special needs. It's hosted in partnership with the Tim Tebow Foundation. Obviously, you guys will remember the Tim Tebow years in maybe not so fond of a light, but all jokes aside, somebody who really does good things for people that are very much in need. And Tallahassee Ford is doing a great job to partner with and really kind of bring that event to light. That event, the specific date is 26 days from now. So that's February 13th. Yeah, day before Valentine's Day, there at Emmanuel Baptist Church on Mahan Drive in Tallahassee, Florida. They are, we talk all the time, if you're in the market for a used car, used or new car vehicle, go check out Tallahassee Ford. They not only give back to FSU, they give back to a lot of things like this, and they are really a pillar of the community. So you may not be in the need for a car right now. You, again, everything's like an ad, and I'm not trying to sell you guys on anything, but if you do want to partner with somebody that does give back to the local community, a community that many of you care about, Tallahassee Ford is a great place to do that. And then again, like we tell you, if you're not in Tallahassee, they will deliver to you. They'll get you taken care of. So reach out to my buddy, Bill McKinney, over at Tallahassee Ford if you are in need, or you can literally sign up to help with this event that goes on in 26 days. So appreciate Tallahassee Ford for their support and wanted to spotlight them just really quickly. We make a big deal about football, and football is a big deal, but there are some things in life that are maybe slightly more important. So shout out Tallahassee Ford. All right, I'm done talking about Tebow for a minute because that just brings up nightmares that are of a whole different variety than the ones that we currently have. Richie, unfortunately, I think was in school at that time. So even
my 4 years at Florida State were Tebow's 4 years at Florida.
Yeah, so brutal, yeah. Brutal memories. Let's move on from that before we all cry. Let's talk about the portal. This year's been a little bit different, Richie. We haven't done like just a video on, you know, every single take in the portal. That just hasn't been, you know, the vibe this year. You know, I know that people are not necessarily in the best mood. They're still kind of frustrated with how things have gone. And to be very fair with you, I don't mean to disparage anybody that's signing up to play football at Florida State, because every single person that did, from the new quarterback to the offensive line to the literal long snapper that we have, I obviously want them to do well, and I want Florida State to win games. This has been Mike Norvell's, on paper, worst signing class from the portal that he's had. And obviously, they took
57th.
Say what?
Are we still 57th?
No, I've got it at 25th. At least on 24/7. They and they've taken enough guys. Now they took a huge high school class, which I understand. The question would be, how many of those high school guys are you expecting to make instant impacts? In 2022, they had the number 10 transfer class. In 2023, they had the number 6 transfer class. 2024, they had the number 7 transfer class. Obviously, we saw 2024 worked out. So I get it. Rankings can not necessarily be a direct indicator. But they actually went after guys that were highly sought after and brought in a lot of 4-stars. This past season, they had the number 5 transfer class. I thought they did a great job with the transfers last year, considering winning 2 games. You brought in Tommy, who certainly had a ceiling, but then you also got Deuce. You brought in Sawchuk. You had a brand new offensive line built out of the portal. You did a good job with Randy Pittman, and then some guys on defense as well. This year, number 25 overall. Just overall underwhelming. You're really hoping, and we'll talk about some of the guys from the class here in just a second. I mean, I think you're really hoping that the scouting department has completely flipped and changed, and that these guys that they're bringing in are big time hidden gem type difference makers, because if not, you know, you weren't winning games the last 2 years with top 7 classes. It's hard to think that you brought in enough instant impact guys in this year's class that's just going to light the world on fire. But not I mean, certainly not the impressive portal haul that we have been accustomed to seeing from Mike Norvell.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Mike Norvell, to his credit, he did a phenomenal job early on in the portal. And granted, that was out of necessity, but he did a phenomenal job being an early adapter to the portal. While a lot of coaches were like, I don't know, I kind of like what I have here. Taking chances on guys like, you know, Jermaine Johnson, who was obviously a very good player, but he did not start at Georgia. And then a guy like Johnny Wilson, who nobody wanted, and Trey Benson, who nobody wanted because of that brutal knee injury he had. You know, Mike was early on in the portal. Well, those days are long gone, DJ. The portal is open for everybody, and everybody is going after players in the portal. And, you know, coming off of 2-10, 5-7, in Florida State currently with Mike Norvell at head coach is very easy to recruit against, because all these coaches are saying, you know, hey, especially if it's a multi-year portal player, say it's a freshman that hops in the portal, like, are you really going to go to Florida State when Mike Norvell is probably not going to be the head coach the following year? Or do you want to come here where we have a stable program and system and environment? It's just way too easy to recruit against Florida State, and it's super difficult for Florida State to recruit and bring players here, because these recruits, they're on X, they listen to these shows, these national shows, everyone's calling for Norvell's head in terms of his job at Florida State. It's just so difficult, and I think that's the product of what we're seeing. Like, yay, we brought in a long snapper, that's awesome, like anyone can do that. Brought in a kicker. I think the kicker's solid. I think it's probably an upgrade from Weinberg, honestly, who's going down to Miami. But yeah, I just think it's Florida State has put themselves in a near impossible situation as things currently stand.
Somebody just asked, and I want to look this up, and then I want to talk about some of these guys. This is going to piss me off, but it was asked in the chat, so it wasn't me doing it. Don't blame me for looking this up and then telling you guys. What is Virginia Tech ranked after their new hire? Virginia Tech currently ranked number 17, so 8 spots ahead of Florida State. I honestly thought that would be a little bit higher, but pretty good. I mean, considering Virginia Tech and where we think of them in the landscape of college football, 17, not terrible there by any means. You and I haven't talked about Ashton Daniels. Has played in 37 career games, 23 starts, just under 5,000 passing yards total. Has not had the best touchdown to interception ratio, but I do think has a ceiling. Here's what I'll say about Ashton Daniels, and then we'll go through other guys maybe more quickly. Well, I really like the running back too, but you know, I've certainly got thoughts there too. My thoughts on Ashton Daniels are that his ceiling is higher than the overall season we just saw from Tommy Castellanos. The problem is, I think his floor is also well below the season that we saw from Tommy. I mean, if you were going to grade Tommy last year, is like C+, B-, like somewhere in there. Like, I think he was about what you expected from him. I don't think he was, certainly don't think he was an A. I don't think he was a failure. Like, I think he was just somewhere right in the middle, around a C+ type thing. He had things he did well. His running ability certainly won you some games. He missed on some things. We also suffered from drops from receivers. Like, would you say Tommy was just pretty average? Like, I think Ashton could be slightly better. I think he could be like a B type quarterback at his very best. He could also flop and be like a D. So I don't know.
I'd say Tommy was probably maybe a B to a B-. You know, you have to factor in everything that was around him, because the quarterback is only as good typically as his surroundings. You know, like you said, he won us some games. Florida State probably does not beat Alabama if Tommy is not our quarterback in that game. And I know it was kind of a dominant performance on both sides of the ball, but Tommy did play a huge role in that. I think there were other games where, you know, you walked away scratching your head, and that's kind of what we knew we were getting with him. So it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out. It's just really frustrating that we keep having to go to the portal every single year for a quarterback. I don't think there's been a single quarterback start for Mike Norvell that he's recruited to Florida State. And that has been 6 years now. Is ridiculous.
Luke did because of injuries, but that, you know, that's
Not win a starting job.
Right. I mean, you're right. The reason they have to continue to go back is, and let's be fair, if you hit the right guys, I mean, neither has anybody for Mario, and they're 60 minutes away from a national championship. So if you hit on the right guys, like, yeah, keep going to the portal, man. I don't care. You know, but if you're not and you're in a different position, then definitely maybe not the best place to be. All right. So on the like player alone, I love this pickup. I don't know how much I love this from a big picture, which we can talk about that in a little bit, but I like Trey Wisner. I think that's a huge pickup at running back from Texas, had over 1,000 yards, 5 rushing touchdowns, and has almost 1,800 yards over 3 seasons, has nearly 500 receiving yards, so he can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think he is kind of a – so you got Sawchuk last year from Oklahoma. I mean, I think he's an upgrade over Sawchuk for sure. I think you brought in a guy that is better, has more experience, has a little bit more burst. Like, I like the Trey Wisner pickup. What I am confused about is why you're not making Usman Nkrumah your workhorse. You know, every time he touches the ball, it feels like he could take off. He's always falling forward. You've paid him a ton of money. And frankly, I'm a little bit surprised he stayed at FSU. I'm sure they paid him a good amount afterward. But it was so weird to see him get like 3 or 4 carries a game in games that he was running really, really well. I haven't loved the running back rotation. They obviously don't have the same running backs coach, so maybe that'll tighten up a little bit. Maybe that was a Gus thing. Who knows? On the pickup itself, I really like Trey Wisner. I don't know that I love how Florida State is handling just running backs in general, but maybe they'll have kind of a 1-2 punch with Wisner and Nkrumah, and I'll eat these words here in, 9 months?
Yeah, I really got excited on this pickup. I was a little surprised. You know, I'm like, you know, he had options. You know, there's some players that we have brought in this portal class where, like, Florida State, even in the state of the program as is currently, we were the best option they had. But this is a player that I think, you know, could have gone not anywhere, but to a lot of different Power Four schools, chose Florida State. He definitely is an instant upgrade to the running back room as a whole. And, you know, we know Gus likes to run the ball. We know Mike likes to run the ball. I think it's a huge bonus to get them in here or get him in here. And, you know, that was definitely one to get excited about. Again, we can be negative sometimes on the show that it frustrates people, but when you have a quality pickup, then we will definitely be positive about it, because I think he's someone who will be an instant impact player week one next year.
Herb Hand, I think, was probably okay. I think Herb Hand was the best coach on staff last year. Is that fair? Is it fair to say that?
I would agree with that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know you were taking a minute. I know you were like thinking through him. Yeah. Like, I think he was. He took 5 brand new starters. I know Richie started the 4 games the year before, but they were 5 guys that had never played with each other, 5 transfers. And turn the offensive line from like complete dog crap to very serviceable to like good. Like, not, yeah, like the offensive line wasn't costing you games out there. They ran the ball well. I thought they pass blocked fairly well. They were obviously better run blocking than they were pass blocking. Well, it's time to see if he can strike lightning twice in the same spot, or if he got lucky or what, which I think Herb Hand's an excellent teacher. I think he's an excellent developer. I am really excited for this group. I'll say offensively, I've got way less questions than defensively, which we'll get to in a minute, but Braden Joyner from Purdue, Nate Papps from Bowling Green, Paul Bowling. Again, if Florida State doesn't go bowling, at least they've got some bowling stuff on their offensive line. From Troy, Xavier Chaplin from Auburn, and I'm not even going to try Chimidia. That sounds Chimdia, Nwakui. I don't know. Stephen F. Austin. 5 new offensive linemen. I think you'll have some guys that return to Florida State, like Sandman Thompson and others, that will fight for some starting spots too. I don't think that's like you're set with 5 that they brought in. I'm excited to see what Herb Hand does again, and I think he's your best. I think he's more than likely your best coach on staff last year. And as somebody who is watching 2 teams tomorrow night that are built through the trenches, I would really like to see Florida State's trenches get back to an elite level. When Florida State plays really well, it's because their trenches dominate. You think about you just mentioned that Alabama win. As good as Tommy was, as good as the defense was, this, that, and the other, they dominated somehow Alabama in the trenches. Yeah. And I'd like to see them get back to that. So the defensive or the offensive front, I am really excited for. We've been on the portal for a few minutes, so I'll go through a couple more. Nehemiah Chandler, a defensive back from South Alabama and Georgia Tech. Carson Hobbs, a DB from Notre Dame. CJ Richards Jr., a DB from Illinois State. Richie, Illinois State, the proud Redbirds from the FCS level, who I saw in Nashville in the FCS National Championship. Had a great time up there. I don't know if we talked about me going to that game or not, But had a great time up there for that game. Obviously have a great time anytime I'm in Nashville, but I'm excited to bring somebody that like literally played in a national championship. And I know it's FCS, but I like that pickup. Mekhi Jones from Duke. They brought in a couple of linebackers, Mekhi Gabor, Chris Jones, and then a defensive end, Rylan Kennedy. I will tell you, I feel just overall pretty good about a lot of the offensive stuff. I like what they're doing in the secondary with bringing Rawls and Barker back and then grabbing some other kind of instant impact, high impact guys in the secondary, and then some guys just for depth as well. I've got real concerns about the linebacker depth and the defensive line depth. I will tell you, the one linebacker they picked up, Gabor, was pretty highly sought after. Gabor, I don't know if I'm saying that right or not. I'm not going to pretend to be in, like Jones and Smith, I can do pretty easily. But just give me an easy last name and I'm set. So I do think they have kind of one impact linebacker. I don't know that they have enough in the front seven to make me feel super, super confident. It'll kind of be a mix and match plug and play, and we'll see, you know, how they can develop over the next few months. The portal is closed for entries, but they can certainly pick more guys up. But all that said, I think they've done an okay job in the portal, but defensively, I think they need to add some more guys. I don't think there's enough at linebacker or defensive line just yet.
Yeah, and I don't disagree. I think the hope is that obviously Tuesday morning, there's a good chance you're going to see 20 plus kids hit the portal from Indiana and Miami. I think more Miami players would be likely. I think Indiana has built kind of a better culture, but you know, the championship teams, their players are still allowed to enter the portal Tuesday morning. So that's something to keep an eye on. And to your point, I think the defensive line is going to be fine from an ACC schedule standpoint. But like you said, the depth is a major concern. And especially if you didn't get those three guys back we talked about in the first segment here, that would be a huge concern. I might not even watch a game next year. I'll still watch every game, but whatever. I just think when you have so many misses in high school recruiting and you're not developing and retaining those high school recruits and building a team that comes together, you think about that 2013 Florida State team. I know that's a unicorn of a team, but a lot of those guys came in within one or two classes of each other, grew up together, playing with each other, practicing with each other, fighting with each other. And look what it ended up turning into. So I think, you know, I don't know how I feel about this team. You know, we'll see when spring ball rolls around. Quarterback, it could be better. It could be worse. Like you said, it's a high ceiling, very low floor. We'll see what happens there. We know Deuce is a monster, and if he stays healthy, he will be a go-to guy. However, teams will definitely be eyeing him this year in their game plans. So it's just, again, in year... This will be what, year seven now? We should not have this much uncertainty at so many different positions.
Here's my maybe favorite pickup. Gabe Panikowski, kicker from Oklahoma State. First team FCS All-American in 2024. Didn't kick at Oklahoma State, but was perfect in 2024. 15 of 15. It is ironic to see Weinberg go down to Miami. Listen, I don't really care. I don't think kids care about these rivalries anymore like you and I do. But I hope he loses them some games next year like he did this season for us. Listen, if your name rhymes with Janikowski, I'm just going to automatically assume that you're a great kicker. I don't care, right? Like I just – Gabe Panikowski might be my new favorite player on the team. That might be I really like Deuce too, so – and Danzy. But, yeah, Cromaw too. So those are my top four. If I'm doing a Mount Rushmore of 2024 players, it's those three and Panikowski, just for his name alone. I'm not going to pretend to be a kicking expert, but he did have a long of 55 yards, pretty good leg strength. I saw some videos floating around. CJ Wilson shared one I saw on Twitter yesterday. That was really good. And just kind of a long kick or two that he had made. And, but again, I don't care about any of that crap. The name is the best part to me.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, if it rhymes with Janikowski and, you know, kickers these days are just insane. Like we got NFL guys kicking the ball 60 plus yards almost every single week in college. You know, it used to be if you're outside of 40 yards, you start thinking about punting the ball. Now this kid, he's got a leg, very strong one. And his accuracy is what is most important to me. That's what made Roberto Aguayo such a weapon at Florida State, being the most accurate kicker in the history of college football. Granted, we didn't really need him on that 2013 season, but knowing that you have someone who is basically automatic, right? And to go 15 to 15 on a whole season, I mean, you find me an NFL kicker this year. There might be a few who had a perfect season this year, attempting more than 10 field goals. There might be some, but you know, it's tough to do. Granted, you're going from the FCS level to the FBS level. We'll see what happens, but I do like the pickup.
All right, let's do this. Let's give Sleeper some love really quick, and then we will move on and talk just kind of big picture, and we'll do another blind ranking because Richie's addicted to it. Richie is, I know some people that like work in addiction, in the field of addiction, Richie. And so the way that you are addicted to, you know, bad sports teams and this, this blind ranking things, I might have to, send your number over. So we're going to do this from the national championship game. Since this is the last game, last game left of the year, we'll go through them quickly. CJ Daniels, Liberty transfer. Big shout out there. 36.5 receiving yards.
Under.
More or less, but less for you.
Oh, less, yeah.
I'll go more on that one. Mark Fletcher, anytime touchdown, 0.5. I'll go more here. Easy.
I'll go more as well, yeah.
That guy's getting in the end zone. Keelan Marion, BYU transfer at Miami, 3.5 receptions.
Less.
I'll go less. I'll agree with you on that. Here's a good one. This one is, I have gone back and forth on my mind about it. Malachi Toney, maybe the most electric player in the game, 60.5 receiving yards.
Less. I just don't like that matchup. I agree with you. He's, if it's just receiving, if it was all purpose, I'd say more, but I'm going to say less on receiving.
I'm going to go more. And the reason why is I think Indiana is going to get out to a lead and Miami's going to have to throw the ball more. I think Indiana is going to kind of dictate this. So I don't, my more is not that they're going to light Indiana up by any means. He also had that annoying little 38-yard, 38-yard like tunnel screen. He can do stuff like that, and that's annoying if you're playing against him. So let's go to the second one. I'll flip it over. And Carson Beck, 200.5 passing yards.
More, because I, to your point on one of the previous ones, I think Miami will be playing from behind, so they're going to have to throw the ball more.
Yeah, same logic there. I'll go more. Kalen Black, 60.5 rushing yards, Indiana running back.
More. They're physical, man.
I'm with you on that one. More as well. Fernando Mendoza, 1.5 passing touchdowns. I'll start us off, but I'll go more. I think he gets it.
I think that's an easy more.
Yeah. Charlie Becker, 46.5 receiving yards for Indiana. I will go first again. I like the more here.
I'll take the more as well.
Make sure that you are on the Sleeper app tomorrow night during the national championship. Make some money with us. Use our code DFNS for a 100% match up to $100. Last one here. Well, no. We have the blind rankings. But Richie, what are your thoughts on this team? Just big picture. We're into 2026. We know most of what the roster looks like. I know that some other guys can be picked up through the portal. I would be very shocked if Florida State just got like a monumental, like
a Keon or something.
Like, yeah. A number change. Yeah, like a win total number changing player. You know, like they may pick up some more depth. They may get another defensive line piece. You know, I don't think Indiana or Miami are going to let any of their all-stars go. I don't know how many all-stars are left in this thing. Like, I guess Jordan Seaton's there. Florida State's not in it for him on the offensive line. I don't think there's anybody out there. So you kind of know what the roster looks like. You kind of know what you're getting back. You know what you brought in. Are you more optimistic about, and take the, you still have a coach that you don't like and you think he's going to lose. Like, take that out. From a roster only standpoint, think about where we were last year, coming off at 2-10. We brought in Tommy, which none of us believed in. Let's be very fair. We knew we were going to have five new offensive linemen. Are you more or less confident in the 2026 roster than you were at this point looking at 2025, or about the same. Again, taking out the Norvell equation because we can't fix that.
Yeah. No, and that's a good question. And I would say I would closely lean towards about the same. But if I had to lean one way or the other, I would say less confident because I just there's so many players we don't really know a ton about that are going to be starting this year. Again, we're going to have basically a brand new offensive line, most likely. The defensive line has no depth. I mean, one player, two players go down in Tuscaloosa early in the season, and your defensive line is immediately dismantled. I'd say I'm close to the same, but I'd lead more to less confident in this roster than I was heading into last season.
Yeah, I think I'm slightly more confident in some areas, but I think overall it's less. Like, even if I try to be like the most optimistic that I can be, I think I'm more confident in the running back room. I wasn't very confident into it going into last year. I'm more confident in the wide receiver room because I know what I'm getting in Deuce and Danzy. I think getting Boggs back was a big deal. So I'm more confident there. I'm probably like slightly more confident in the offensive line room because I wasn't very confident in it because there were going to be five new starters last year. Now, I don't think that Florida State, the offensive line may not be better than it was in 2025, but I do think I have enough confidence in Herb Hand and their recruiting there through the portal and his development and like teaching to where like I probably am more confident than I was last year at this time with five new offensive linemen. And so, and then quarterback, again, trying to paint the most positive picture possible. I think Daniel's ceiling does exist. Will he hit that ceiling? I've got no clue. I think his size and physicality are better for Florida State than Tommy's, right? Like, I think he'll stay more healthy. He's not as lightning fast, but he's still pretty quick. I think he'll run fairly well and be able to take the hits a little bit better. So offensively, I'd say I might be slightly more optimistic. Defensively is where I have all of my worries. Because last year you at least had Jackson and you had some guys that you thought, you know, I think we kind of bought in that Omar Graham would be better, that some of the linebacker transfers with Stephon Thompson and others coming in would put you in a little bit better spot. This year I'd say I'm slightly more confident in the offense, much less confident in the defense. Like, I don't have a lot of hope that the defense is going to take a massive step forward. And I'll just say this. If the defense is even just on par with where it was last year, I mean, think about what that means. You gave up a billion points to Florida. You couldn't get crucial stops against Clemson and NC State and Stanford when you needed to. Virginia, who put, 17 points up on Duke, scored almost 50 against you. Pittsburgh, you know, absolutely tore you up with a true freshman quarterback that was making his first start. So I think that overall, if I'm a little bit more confident in the offense and much less confident in the defense, yeah, I think this roster in 2026, I don't think it's as good as the 2025 roster. Like, I think on paper, I don't think it'll be. I don't know what the total team rankings were when 247 put that out in August, September, whatever. I would expect that we're a couple spots down. I don't think it's a drastic drop down. I don't think we're down in the 30s or anything like that.
No.
But I think the roster is not as complete as it was last year. That doesn't mean that Florida State wins last game. I mean, all that comes down to how well you execute, how your schedule lines up. Do you get lucky and maybe play like you did in 2022? Do you maybe go on a run where you get to play a couple of backup quarterbacks and that helps you out? Yeah, all those things can factor in. What do the teams that you play look like, right? Like, does the Summerall thing work out at Florida? Does Miami have a hangover? Does Alabama, like, do they continue to circle down and kind of fall off like we've seen the last couple of years from them? Does Clemson rebound from where they were a few years ago? Or are they looking at, are we going and playing Clemson when they've got three wins again, like we did last year? Not that that helped us a ton. You know, I think we play Pittsburgh. I think we play SMU. What do those teams look like, right? So it's so peaks and valleys that it's hard to say, oh, you're going to win this many games or that many games. But I'll tell you, I'm less confident overall. I'd set a win total at like 5.5, 6. Like that's kind of what I would expect out of this roster.
Yeah, and I think that's what Vegas will have as well. Typically, we'll get early win totals potentially as early as Tuesday afternoon. Because Vegas does not sleep on these things. They will have definitely have national title, Heisman odds, all that good stuff. But yeah, I think 5.5. I think there's still, even though I'm less confident in this roster than last year's, it would still be an extreme disappointment not to at least get to a bowl game. Get me to Shreveport. I don't care. Just give me a reason to get excited one last time. I don't care if half the starters sit out like they did in the Orange Bowl a few years ago. Just get me to a bowl game. This is embarrassing. My first 30-something years of my life, we never missed a bowl game. And now we've missed, what, four since I've been alive? It's just ridiculous. But, yeah, I do think the roster, my outlook is not as good as a year ago. However, I do still think they're capable of more with proper coaching.
On coaching, are you more or less confident? Norvell aside, just coordinators – coaching, you know, like coaching moves, things like that. Like we never talked about like Sims being the linebacker coach. Obviously replace your running backs coach. You got a new special teams coach in, new defensive backs coach. Are you more or less confident in the coaching staff, or is that just kind of about the same as it was? Do you think you've upgraded anywhere? Do you think you've downgraded anywhere? Just overall thoughts there.
So full disclosure, I haven't done a ton of research to see how good of recruiters these guys are. Obviously, Ernie's a great story. You know, he and his brother both played here at Florida State. I'd say about the same. It's the wait and see. But when it comes to assistance like that, I'm just more concerned about recruiting than I am anything else.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I'm slightly more confident than I was at this time last year with the new staff additions, because I think most of them you saw enough from them last year to kind of know what was like. I feel better about offensive line right now than I did because of Herb Hand. I feel better about wide receivers because I think Tim Harris did a really good job and better than Ron did. Defensive backs, a wait and see for me. I think getting rid of John Papuchis, massive. Like you could have brought, you know, Harlan in to coach the linebackers, not a felt good about like that. To me, that's a massive upgrade. Him not coaching the special teams anymore. We were the most embarrassing special teams I've ever seen last season. So yeah, there, I think I'd say I'm slightly more optimistic there, but at the same time, I don't think we've taken a massive jump forward. I think Gus ultimately was about who I expected him to be. I know that I was singing his praises after the Bama game, which I think that was his best game of the year, and then it tailed off from there. But I think you've kind of got what you got. I would like to see a little bit more out of the defensive side. Some of those guys in the second year of Tony White's system be a little bit better. But I think I'm maybe again slightly more optimistic about the coaching staff. If we don't think about Mike Norvell, like if we remove the most important piece of the equation, I feel great.
we'd be awesome.
Let's do this. I think that was all the shout outs I had for today. So we can just move right on to our last ranking. Richie, this is on you. So tell me, for those that haven't seen this, Richie gives me five things to blind rank. I think it's five, right? Five things to blind rank. The first time we did games in 2013. The second time we did overall just Mike Norvell, or players in 2013 on that roster.
Yeah.
Second time we did games that Mike Norvell has coached in. We've both tried to trip each other up unsuccessfully. I don't know how many times we'll try and trip each other up, or if we'll just kind of do this at this point. But here we go with blind ranking number three.
All right. So there are a couple stipulations to this one. So you are going to blind rank ACC road trips for Florida State fans.
Oh, this is fun.
So for the few stipulations, one, we have people that watch this show from all across the country and a handful across the world. So travel is not going to be a factor, like travel expenses. So it's just a trip. So the deal is you work a half day Thursday. You get into this college town or around that area on Thursday night. You have all day Friday to do whatever you want. Saturday, obviously game day. And Sunday, you're not leaving until about 4 or 5 p.m. So you have all day Sunday morning, early afternoon. So we're going to blind rank these ones. The first one I have is Pittsburgh.
Yeah, this isn't a college town, so it's lower for me. I'm going to reserve 5 for later, and I'm just going to go 4.
All right. I think this one will probably score pretty high on your list. Louisville.
Yeah, this was a good one. And this is exactly what, now we played on a Friday there, so it was a little bit different when I went. Louisville would be pretty high. The Bourbon Trail was really fun. Just there's an area of Louisville. I don't remember what it's called. It might be like Nulu or something like that. I don't remember exactly. But there's an area that's kind of like, I mean, if you're in Tampa, like Seminole Heights-ish, it's kind of just like trendy and artsy. And there's a bunch of breweries and a bunch of cool food places. And yeah, obviously a bunch of bourbon and stuff around too. So Louisville was pretty great. I'll leave that at two just to kind of leave the door open for something great. But Louisville is an absolute must. If you've never been to a game there, the game itself was the comeback when Jordan got hurt and Tate came in. That was a ton of fun. And then again, that was on a Friday night. So I actually did get there early on Thursday and then had kind of a fun day Thursday, game Friday, fun day Saturday. So I got to literally do what you're saying, just a day different. Louisville's way high. So that's two for me.
Yeah, great city. Went on a bachelor party there before. Did not go to a game, but it was fun. Next one, Florida State is heading up to Chestnut Hill to play Boston College.
So
again, we're talking things to do plus game experience.
I don't know that I want to make this number one, but Boston's a great city and like so much fun. And I know that Chestnut Hill is a little bit far outside of the city, but that would just be your game day thing. You would still have Friday and Sunday to be able to do stuff. Honestly, this might be number one, but I'll put it at three just in case there's something else really good there. Boston, just as a city I've been to, I've never been to a game at Chestnut Hill. That probably, yeah, that docks it. That gets it down to number three. Because it's not a great atmosphere. It's not a great environment. I guess unless you go to the Red Bandana game on a year, they're good. But, you know, going to a game there, which I've never done and don't really have a strong desire to, going to a game there, that would not be as fun as like Louisville. I think a game at Pitt would even be more fun. So yeah, Boston number three, just because there is a lot of fun stuff to do. There's great restaurants, great food, great breweries. If you stayed around on Sunday, you could maybe go to a Patriots game. Maybe you go to a Celtics or a Red Sox game if it's the right time of year. So yeah, three feels right for Boston.
Great city, horrible game day atmosphere. I went to a bachelor party to a game at Boston College. One, they do not allow tailgating. And two, there are only two bars within walking distance of Alumni Stadium. So that is definitely worth noting. So this is why I put in the whole travel budget is not an option. Let's go up to Palo Alto and talk about Stanford.
Okay, so this is tough because all I've got left is 1 and 5. I'm going to do it. So I guess whatever you leave for the last one is going to be number one. I'm going to go 5. And I would replace this and probably put it at 4. But the reason I'm going, like I can travel anywhere I want. You know, like I've been, yeah. And so I was just in Nashville. I was in Atlanta not too far before that. I went up, I've actually been to Nashville twice here recently. Like, I'm just trying to think. Like, I've been a bunch of places. Gone to Tallahassee several times. So I was up in Blue Ridge. Like, just all these places, right? So, like, the game is the reason I'm going. And though it would be fun to do fun things up in Palo Alto and obviously wine country and all that, the game is why I'm going. And so if you have a crappy game day experience, like it is going to get docked to me. So I don't know what number one might be worse. Like you might be giving me just a terrible game day experience on this last one. But because the game day experience is what I care about the most, as opposed to, I mean, if I want to go out of town, I'll just go out of town anytime. I'll go to Palo Alto when we're not playing, or I'll go see baseball or something. So I'm going to put them 5. But again, that's because the game means more to me than necessarily the outside things. So what are you sticking with me? So what are you sticking me with for number one?
It's actually a pretty good one, I think. SMU.
Oh yeah. Okay. So I have no problems with this. Yeah. SMU. I didn't go, thank God. I didn't go to that game last year at SMU. I was actually in Tuscaloosa for that weekend. Thankfully saw an absolute classic instead of, the Mustangs beat our heads in. Yeah, SMU would be way high up there. I'd probably switch Louisville and SMU just 1 and 2, but this might be how I would do this in general. Maybe I'd have Pittsburgh last. But yeah, Dallas is a great city. I went when we played there to open up the 2014 season against Oklahoma State. Yep. Ton of fun. Again, I'm not so much into craft beer as much anymore, but just a ton of breweries around there, a ton of good places to go eat, whether it's Mexican food or barbecue or just whatever there in Texas. Great city. And a fun atmosphere too. I know it's a smaller stadium, but very passionate fans. They're winning right now, which makes it more fun. Like, you don't want to go on a road trip where everybody's just miserable. Like, people come to Tallahassee now. I mean, I know we'll still have a good time when we're in Tallahassee and all that, but like, you want to go when they're playing well and doing, and the game is fun. So SMU, yeah, Dallas being number one doesn't really upset me that much.
So TJ is top five, SMU number one, heading out to Dallas. Where's my number two? Louisville, number two. That's a good one. That really is. Number three, we have Boston College. Boston is an amazing city. It really is. Traffic sucks, but that's okay. Pittsburgh, number four. I might have had that just above Boston. I'm not sure. And Stanford, number five. So overall, TJ, not a bad list.
I don't hate this. And when I think about like the actual games, this is probably how I would rank it. Maybe Louisville 1, SMU 2. Like, to me, those are very similar.
Yeah.
But then the other games, like a game day at BC, again, Pittsburgh might be 3 if I was just doing the games. But again, all the outside stuff is really fun. So I guess the next one's on me. I'll have to think of another blind ranking for this. Underrated, again, Atlanta's way up there. Raleigh's way up there. I went to Raleigh this year. It was a ton of fun. Horrible Virginia. First of all, because we can't find a way to win there. Second, you mentioned like the bars and stuff, like how there's nothing close. Nothing close. There is no bar close. There's no tailgate scene. Virginia, terrible. The games I've been to there have both been decided on the last play, which was fun. They didn't go in our favor, but terrible. Like, I would never suggest somebody go to Charlottesville. Just not a great, like, it's not, it was a okay town. Just again, the pregame scene is terrible and it's not convenient to get to at all. You know, I know we don't like them. Miami, I always have a good time in Miami. Like, there's enough to do there from the artsy district. I know we hate the Canes, but like from the artsy district to like, if you want to go do the South Beach thing or you want to go downtown, there's pro sports and stuff. Like, Miami is a good time. I know, you know, and I'll tell you this, the Miami tailgate scene is not even terrible in that big open lot. And as much as we give them a hard time for the stadium stuff, you know, it is nice to have Wi-Fi during the games in San NFL State. I really don't complain about it. That I like to crack the jokes, but I mean, it is a fun, and it's the best. Let's be honest, it's the best ACC experience you can have. And then Clemson's obviously way, way up there. So fun one for sure. I want to get to Blacksburg soon. That's one that I want to do. Richie, who you got winning tomorrow night?
Head says Indiana, heart says Miami.
Your heart is on Miami?
No, that's just what my heart's telling me. Like, my head says Indiana's the better team. I think Indiana truly is the best team in the country, but I think my heart just wants to break itself tomorrow night, and that's just what's going to happen.
I think Miami's an interesting matchup. I do think Indiana wins. I think Miami keeps it a little bit closer than the spread. So give me like 27-24 Hoosiers. I just think they're better. I think they'll end up getting it done. But
let me give a prediction then. 34. I'm going with my head. 34-27 Indiana. So Indiana wins, Miami covers.
Yeah, I like it. So, all right. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. We'll probably do a show next week. We'll see what happens. I'll tell you this. I alluded to this at the beginning. I want to, this isn't like a no cast sign off thing here, but I want to do shows that do make sense for FSU. I understand that a lot of people are just frustrated right now, and I'm not going to get on here every single week, 3 times a week, and just whine and moan and complain about FSU. I still like FSU. Somebody in church asked me this morning, like, do you ever wear anything that's not branded with FSU and on? And I was like, no, not really. That's still what I do. I don't think we're going to get on here and just give you guys fluff content where we just, you know, oh, everything is okay and everything's fine. When stuff is relevant and makes sense, we'll talk about it. When Florida State, you know, is kind of in the doldrums and there's not a lot to talk about, like, you know, we're not going to just make things up to get on here and chat. So it may be more infrequent. It may be every single week for the rest of the year. We'll see how it goes. We usually take a pretty good break in the summer, which I'm sure that'll happen again too. But we'll see how the next few weeks go. We'll see what the portal looks like. We'll see if any kind of news comes out. And then, you know, maybe we'll do more basketball. Certainly not this year.
Hey, they beat Wake Forest.
They lost by one. They blew it.
No, they did. They
Blew it. Yeah. Not seeing
my dumbass.
They people have asked, oh, are you doing less shows or whatever? I will. You know, I don't know what Richie wants to plug here. Richie, you can give a shout out here in a second. I am doing way more. over on College Football Addiction, because there's a lot of good college football happening. It may not be happening in Tallahassee. So if you want to hear bad takes over there, you can certainly go subscribe. If you don't and you want to block football out of your mind for the next 9 months, then certainly do that as well. But we'll still do shows. We'll still continue to come on here and talk about anything that's relevant. We kind of did an instant reaction once Ashton Daniels committed because that quarterback position is so important. But if there's less, it's just because there's, you know, kind of know what you got this year. So we'll see. Richie, anything to shout out? Anything you want to talk about?
Shout out Brooks Koepka taking the first step to get back on the PGA Tour full time. So I'm excited for that. You know, I was a diehard LIV guy, but now that Brooks is back, let's go PGA.
Yeah, go Hoosiers. That's all I got to say. So please don't let me hear these people celebrate for the
shout out that drunk Indiana fan on the airplane who was just getting the entire plane to chant Hoosiers. Yeah. So if you haven't seen that, look it up. You'll see it.
I took Brian to Disney on Friday, and there's a big group of like 7 or 8 Hoosiers fans walking in. And I had my FSU stuff on again, because that's just all I wear. And I was like, man, I'm cheering hard for you guys. And he looked at my shirt and he's like, oh, I'm sure you are. The guy was so nice. He's like, yeah, we're going to the game on Monday. He was like, we want to win, but this is like a dream for us. He's like, whatever. He's like, we've already won. Like, I'm at Disneyland. He's like, I'm at Disney World right now. And so anyway, had a bunch of fun. And those, they deserve it. Miami's had it.
Good for them. Yeah.
All right. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. We'll talk to you soon. Go Noles.